السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
Today is 27th May, and as every Ahmadi is aware, that on this day Khilafat was initiated after the demise of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam. Thus, this day is accordingly celebrated in the Ahmadiyya community. Or it can be said that we express our gratitude to God the Almighty on this day, for the glad tiding given in the prophecy of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the second manifestation foretold by the promised Messiah alaihi salatu wassalam. We are grateful that God Almighty prevented us from being dispersed and instead united us like beads. And in regards to this, we pledge that we will be ready to make every type of sacrifice to uphold and maintain the establishment of Khilafat-e Ahmadiyya, inshallah. The last 108-year history in the Ahmadiyya community testifies that generations after generations have unwaveringly made sacrifices to uphold this pledge. May Allah the Almighty enable all those currently attached to the community or who will join in the future to remain firm on this promise. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam declared that the purpose of his advent is to connect mankind to God so that they fulfill all of the rights to him, and secondly, so that man fulfills the due rights to his fellow people. In the book, The Will, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam gives the glad tiding of the establishment of Khilafat and enjoined us to adopt the aforementioned advice into our lives. Thus, in the will, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam states, if you fully incline towards God, then be reminded, and I say it in accordance with the will and pleasure of God, that you shall become His chosen people. Let the greatness of God take root in your hearts, and acknowledge His unity not just with your tongues, but also with your actions, so that God, too, practically shows His mercy and kindness to you. The Promised Messiah further states, refrain from malice and treat human beings with true compassion. Adopt each and every path of righteousness, for who knows from which of these paths you will be accepted. Thus, if we remain steadfast on Tawheed, i.e. belief in the oneness of God, and increase in our compassion and sympathy for mankind, and maintain a firm bond with Khilafat, then we too will witness all of the progress and success which God Almighty promised to the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam. Having been informed of this by God Almighty, the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, has given us the glad tiding and says, do not think that God will let you go to waste. You are the seed which the hand of God has sown in the earth. And God says that this seed will grow and flower, and its branches will spread in all directions, and it will become a huge tree. Thus, there is no doubt that the community established by the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, will flourish, as this is the promise of God the Almighty. However, each one of us must analyze ourselves to determine what we are doing to fulfill the rights due to God and the rights due to mankind. The eyes of the world are upon us, and we have been assigned the task by God the Almighty to establish Tawheed, i.e. the oneness of God. And that we should draw close to God ourselves, and also strive to bring the world closer to their Creator, the one and only God, and to establishing the rights of humanity. I was recently on a tour of Scandinavian countries, where certain newspaper reporters and other intellectuals asked me that what is your objective? I would tell them that the objective of Khilafat-e-Ahmadiyya and the Ahmadiyya Muslim community are exactly the same for which the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, was sent to the world by God Almighty. And the purpose is to make every effort to bring man near to God Almighty and to fulfill the rights of all peoples. And we have no other objective but this, because we observe in the world today that mankind is forgetting its Creator. And generally, in the name of serving humanity, people seek to acquire personal gains. And this is resulting in increasing restlessness, and nations are moving further away from one another. Worldly people find this to be a very difficult concept to understand, that how can we be working purely to attain the pleasure of God Almighty and without any vested interests? These worldly people may assume that at present us Ahmadis only act on the pretext of love in order to establish close relations with people. Or that we try to draw others towards us. While perhaps later our objective will be to gain power and governance, and thus this is all part of our strategy. A professor of Islam from Stockholm University asked a similar question on one occasion. I replied that the answer to his question can be found in the following couplet of the promised Messiah. Now what concern have I for worldly kingdoms? For I belong to a unique kingdom. And what would I do with a worldly crown? For my crown is the pleasure of Allah. This precisely is the objective of Khilafat Ahmadiyya and Jamaat Ahmadiyya. With the grace of Allah, many interviews were held with the media during this tour. In addition to the inauguration of the mosque in Malmo, there were two receptions with non-Muslims in Denmark and in Stockholm. I discoursed on the true teachings of Islam and the Holy Quran, and the blessed model of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the examples of the Khulafa'i Rashidin, i.e. the rightly guided Khalifas. The majority said that on that day they learned of it the true teachings of Islam. And this is always the case. Wherever on the topic of peace the Ahmadiyya Muslim community organizes functions, events and symposiums anywhere in the world, guests always respond in the same way. And the reason why this is because there is a united and concerted effort being undertaken everywhere in the world on this one topic of peace. And every effort is being exerted towards this end, in the East, the West, North and South. And all of this is because the Ahmadiyya Muslim community is attached to the institution of Khilafat and works under its guidance. As mentioned, the majority said that only now had they come to know of the real teachings of Islam, and that they learned of Islam's true beliefs through the Khalifa of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. Thus, the system of Khilafat initiated after the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam not only guides its followers, but rather it also demonstrates the true Islamic model to the opponents of Islam or those who are fearful of the religion. What is the impact upon non-Ahmadis who attend our functions? I shall present a few examples of this. A reception was held in a hotel in Denmark, attended by members of parliament, ministers, including the Minister of Religion and Culture, mayor, politicians, various intellectuals, and representatives of embassies. They observed and listened to the function and unanimously expressed that they had acquired knowledge of the true Islam. A Danish guest, Sten Hoffman, said, "I was very relieved and happy hearing the speech of the Khalifa. There is a tremendous need for this message in the current times." Then she said, "May God enable for the message of the Khalifa to be thoroughly understood in Scandinavia. There is a city in Denmark called Nakskov, and people in large numbers had come from there to attend the function, including the mayor, politicians and other intellectuals. A member of their local council said, The speech of the Khalifa was greatly moving. I was very happy to learn that there are hundreds of thousands of Muslims who, without fear, and purely for the sake of establishing peace in the world, are soaring high like an illuminating tower, and these are the people of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. Then one guest said, just at the table I was sitting at, after the different speeches, we were talking about the different ways of understanding Islam. And I realized that people around me were actually saying that it was so relieving to see that it could actually be presented in this way. Especially because to most Danish people, Islam is one thing. Most Danish people don't even know that there are different divisions in Islam who actually desire peace. And I think it's really important to show this. And I really do believe that people are going home with new knowledge. In fact, it was in Denmark where this all first began when they wrongly drew caricatures of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I told them that this will cause nothing else but enmity to grow, destroy the peace, and cause turmoil and havoc. They acknowledged this and said that although this is a very sensitive issue for us to talk about, however, we have understood this very well because of the manner in which you have explained it. One of the guests said, certainly after today's address, people's views about Islam will have transformed. He said, I have ordered a Quran to increase my understanding of Islam, which includes footnotes. I have realized my lack of knowledge after this evening's event. And he said that I will now read the Holy Quran. As I mentioned, people came from Nakskov, and when they were leaving to return home, one of the guests wrote, we thank you 1,000 times. This was a most memorable and unforgettable function in our lives. We will always remember this experience. And further said that there was a special atmosphere in the coach on our return journey from Copenhagen to Nakskov. We discussed this event for the entire journey, and each one of us agreed that it had been an excellent day in which we learned a great deal. A journalist expressed his sentiments and said, I absorbed a great deal, and the address of the Khalifa forced me to reflect in particular the point that the depiction of Islam in the media is completely contrary to the reality. He further said, I am unable to criticize anything he said because it was all relating to love, affection and mutual respect, and he said these are the keys to peace. He further said that he warned us about another world war, and this has made me worried. I had previously heard a few others say that we are nearing a world war, but I did not believe them. However, today I have changed my mind, and I will treat this issue seriously. He also said that the Khalifa has spoken on this with such gravity that it has compelled me to reflect on it. A female guest, expressing her sentiments, said, the address forces one to think. But on the other hand, it is also very worrying because he has painted a very grave picture of the future. He has forewarned us about the threat of a world war and said that we still have time to try and establish peace rather than regret it afterwards. Another female Danish guest said, I only knew negative things about Islam before. However, today I heard a positive message filled with love. I learn that ISIS is not Islam, and that Islam advocates that the places of worship of all religions are to be protected and maintained. Another Danish guest said, I met a person who proved that the illustration of Islam depicted by the media is wrong. I am extremely moved and enthused. I met someone who has explained to me what jihad really means, and I was extremely pleased to hear his discourse on the balance that needs to be kept in the freedom of opinion in the press in conjunction with world peace. Another Danish guest said, in his address, the Khalifa gave references from the Holy Quran, and this proves his words were not self-concocted, but rather based on the truth and reality. His words established that Muslims can integrate in the West because he explained that Islam does not clash with Western values, and peace, tolerance, and respect for one another are mutually shared values. And then he said, truth be told, that the Danish people are terrified of Muslims and the wars taking place in the Middle East. However, at least today, we have come to know that whatever is happening there is not the fault of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or his religion, but rather his religion has been completely mutilated. A university student present said, the points made in his address were very clear, and the values in Islam were very lucidly expounded, and they are values that we will all wish to adopt. He further added, it has been established for me and all the participants that Islam is a peaceful religion. This was proved based on verses of the Holy Quran and the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and examples from his khulafa, i.e. the successors. This is something I particularly liked. The objectives of the Ahmadiyya community were made clear, which gave me the opportunity to learn of the true Islam. Another guest expressed his sentiments as follows. The way he discoursed on our future generations, the problems we are facing at present, and used the Holy Quran to give solutions to all these issues was brilliant. I did not know before today that the Quran places so much emphasis on justice. He then said, my views on Islam have completely transformed. Before, I only knew what the media reported. However, I have now seen the reality on the other side. He also said, the Khalifa quoted a verse of the Holy Quran, which states that one should deal with justice even with those whom one does not like. I also like the fact that he said that the Muslims in the early period used to treat the Jews and Christians with love, and this has left a deep impression on my heart. Then, a lady belonging to the Humanist Society said, people have very little knowledge of the peaceful message. The media only reports the negative news and does not inform us anything about the positive elements. All of Denmark's media should have been present here, and I am very disappointed with the attitude of the people of our country. A Danish woman said, I had no knowledge of Islam, however I have learned a great deal today, and I am very happy that in this respect, the Khalifa is my teacher. I believe that Islam is a peaceful religion. She further said, I wish that people would pay heed to his message, and I would like to have a copy of the address in Danish, so that I can take in all the words just as they are and inform others too. She then said, the address of the Khalifa should be circulated throughout the whole of Denmark, and we need to accept his message of peace and learn from it. I used to think that all Muslims are extremists, and I feel extremely ashamed for having entertained such thoughts. The majority of them are peaceful, however, the media has filled our minds. She also added, my husband was stopping me from coming here this morning because he thought that there might be an attack or a suicide attack. However, I convinced him to come as I was curious. And now he is happy that he came along. Both the husband and wife attended. She further said, in fact, he has become very emotional. She also said, I would say that those who did not attend despite being invited are very foolish. A Danish politician, Kim Lofvenholm, said, this was my first opportunity to meet a Khalifa, and the experience of meeting him was completely different to meeting any other Muslim in my life. He said to the person narrating this, your imam says such things with regards to Islam, which other Arab Muslims, those who I have met, do not mention. Your Khalifa makes it very clear that Islam grants freedom to every religion. He also said, the world needs to listen to the voice of the Khalifa. His words should spread far and wide. You might be a small community, however, your message is enormous. After that, he said, this event was very informative. For example, I learned about the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Holy Quran, and that, for instance, he permitted Christians to worship in his mosque, as well as the fact that he was against any kind of anti-Semitism. The representative of the American embassy said, the Khalifa demonstrated the true face of Islam. People started fearing Islam after the Brussels and Paris attacks. However, the Khalifa made it evident that this terrorism has nothing to do with Islam. Islam is a message of wisdom and peace, and I will inform the ambassador of every point the Khalifa has mentioned. And I will also inform him of the serious topics mentioned by the Khalifa, for instance, freedom of speech, and that people nowadays need to unite. A Danish guest, who is a teacher, said, I have learned many things with regards to Islam today, and I will tell my students of everything I have heard your Khalifa say. She said, many people are afraid of Islam. However, I have learned from the Khalifa that it is not Islam, rather terrorism and extremism which we should refrain from. Islam and terrorism are separate from one another. She added, I thought that I knew Islam, whereas in reality, I did not know anything. For example, I did not know that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam acted virtuously towards Christians and Jews. This fact made me very emotional. His speech was very well balanced, and he also criticized some Muslims and non-Muslims whose actions are evil. One guest said, I observed in the manner he delivered the address and that he had carefully listened to the words of other speakers. She further said, his words with regards to the Third World War were very eye-opening. I have become slightly worried after hearing them. However, I also experienced a sense of comfort by listening to his address. More than 140 Swedish guests attended in Malmö at the opening of the mosque, including members of parliament, the mayor of the city of Malmö, the police chief, representatives of the city church, university professors, and people of various other fields. A Jewish guest said, This day was very informative for me, as I learned many things with regards to Islam. He said, many negative thoughts are held in this world regarding Islam, and we all fear the extremism of Muslims. Therefore, I was astonished at hearing the message of mere love delivered by a Muslim leader. He further said that you should worship God, however, you should love humanity along with this. He further added, the Khalifa made me feel as if Muslims are our brothers. This increased the compassion in my heart for Palestinians, and this thought crossed my mind that perhaps not all of them are bad. In any case, no one admits their own faults. However, he at least acknowledged that they should show compassion. A lady who is a Christian priest and works in a hospital said, in my opinion, this is absolutely correct that here in Malmo and in Europe, people are afraid of Muslims and mosques. And the Khalifa has mentioned very important matters with regards to peace and the responsibilities of people. He has informed us about the purposes of a mosque, and I hope that he will succeed in convincing others regarding these purposes. He has most certainly convinced me. The topic of the purposes of a mosque was very important, and his every word was meaningful and profound. She further said, he gave the message of not fearing one another, rather of understanding one another and to share the thoughts of one another. After that, she said, the truth is that the speech of your Khalifa has moved me. I have become very emotional. Today I have heard a Muslim leader speak only of peace, and he told me that Islam is a religion of serving humanity. And the best part of his speech was when he said that mankind needs to recognize its creator and have firm faith in God. This is my view also. The mayor of Malmo City, Mr. Anderson, said, the address reassured us of the establishment of peace. In fact, it also outlined the true objectives of the mosque that has been constructed in this city. Thus, we consider this mosque to be a means of establishing peace and integration. A journalist said, it is astonishing to learn that all of the funds for this mosque have been raised entirely by the members of the community. This was very astonishing for me because its expense was no ordinary sum. In fact, we are talking of 3 million kroner. He also said, you have done all the work yourselves, and this is a great achievement, and I am very impressed. This journalist is a male, and he further added, I see the atrocities of terrorism and the cruelties perpetrated, but you people are different from them. He related his own incident and said, I was in a supermarket and someone asked me whether or not I was a Muslim. I told him that I was a Christian and not a Muslim, and he said that I should go to hell as I was a Christian. And so he said, this is the thinking of the Muslims, but yours is completely different. Such things are not found in Ahmadis. Another guest, who teaches at Malmo University, said, the Khalifa's address was very effective and gave us a very positive and universal message about peace and love. Similarly, a professor of Islamic studies from Lund University in Malmo also attended and said, the Khalifa's address was extremely captivating and effective. After the address finished, I saw that people were conversing with one another about the address, and it seemed that it had an effect on everyone. Some people even ask for a copy of the address to be given to them. He further added, I saw that everyone was gathered here. The person who built the first mosque for the Sunni sect was also present, and also Jews, Christians, and people of other faiths. The chief of the Church of Scientology in Sweden also attended for the purpose of gathering information. He said, the Khalifa said something in his speech which I liked a lot, and that is that we must put our own interests aside for the purpose of achieving a greater benefit. Another guest, Michael, whose parents are Polish and lives in Sweden, said, the address was perfect in every respect. It carries a message of peace and helping one another. He also spoke about Africa and how schools and other services are being made available in Africa. He further said, I believe in God. However, a vast majority of the people here do not. Therefore, I am proud of the fact that someone has come to Sweden who firmly believes in God and one creator. After listening to the address, I am no longer fearful of Islam. However, I am scared of the extremists, and it has become apparent to me that they are both distinct from one another. Another guest, Hussein Abdullah Sahib from Yugoslavia, said, the words of the Khalifa have touched me, and I agree with everything he said. No other Muslim can defend Islam in the manner in which he did. He stressed upon tolerance and helping others, and said that the teaching of Islam is that one should help all those who are underprivileged and needy. He further said that I am proud of Jamaat Ahmadiyya. People have misconceptions of Islam, and it is no easy task to rectify them. However, the Khalifa is at the forefront in doing this. Expressing his thoughts, a Swedish guest said, this evening has greatly impressed me and I have learned what Islam is. In just a few minutes, the Khalifa spoke on various subjects and defended Islam in a manner which I have never heard before. He also acknowledged that there are some Muslims who are bad. However, by quoting from the Holy Quran, the Khalifa proved that such people are going against the Holy Quran. A politician said in his speech, you should feel peace from a true Muslim. And while I was at this function, I really felt that peace. A Christian priest said, I agree with every single word of your Khalifa's address. In particular, I like the part where he said that we should remember God, and this is the very foundation of faith. Also, I found his recitation of the Holy Quran at the start of his address to be very spiritual and moving. Another guest said, today it seemed that I was in a completely different world. The central message of the address was to show consideration for one another, and particularly those who are the weakest and needy. He further added, through the Holy Quran, the Khalifa has proved that religion is a personal matter. Indeed, he has reassured me, and I am hopeful that the others who have attended gain similar benefits. Another guest said, today's address spoke of various subjects. People say that Islam is a religion of extremism. However, the message of your Khalifa is completely different from that. A Swedish guest said, I learned a lot about Islam, which was wonderful. The media is always reporting about Islam as if it is a religion of extremism. However, we have heard the complete opposite of that today. The Khalifa has reassured us and has removed our fears and has proven that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a man of peace. Another guest said, "Prior to this event, I was very fearful of Islam. However, what I saw and witnessed today was something completely different." The Khalifa's address was one of kindness, compassion and peace. He taught us that we should love everyone regardless of one's faith, and this touched my heart. Moreover, I was pleased to learn that Islam teaches about the rights of one's neighbor. Similarly, there are many impressions of the guests. They include Buddhists and Christians, and they all said that the teaching of Islam and the example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is completely against extremism. A member of parliament said, "The Khalifa should represent Islam everywhere and on all platforms, and people need to listen to his words. If anyone had any fear of Islam, it must have been removed today." Another guest said that this address should be given to the people of Austria because in that country they are very ardent in their opposition to Islam and are fearful of it. They need to listen to this address to know that Islam is a religion of peace. The Khalifa beautifully explained the objectives of mosques. He explained that a mosque means peace and Salat also means peace and harmony. I also liked your Khalifa saying that Jamaat Ahmadiyya does not get involved in politics and only concerns itself with establishing peace. And I was thoroughly impressed when the Khalifa said that Ahmadis were striving to alleviate pain from the world. It was also interesting to know that a mosque, i.e. Masjid al-Zarar, was demolished in the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, proving that point that mosques are meant to for peaceful pursuits. A reception was held in the Swedish capital, Stockholm, It was attended by 6 members of parliament, other government officials and people from various walks of life. And the people over there also gave a lot of positive feedback. One of the guests said, "It was very impressive and I have learnt a lot. Moreover, it has given a cause for optimism. I am thankful that the Khalifa came. His message made us realize not to close our eyes when a conflict arises in the vain hope that it will go away. It was a substantial message for which I am grateful to him." Another guest said, "As there are forces at work pulling mankind away from each other, you have been successful in getting people together in every sense. Whenever we meet, our eyes are open and we get to learn more." And a Christian refugee from Iraq, Mr. Salam, said, "I have never heard such things in Iraq. The picture of Islam painted over there is not the same as depicted by your Khalifa. I wish if people in Iraq had paid heed to the Khalifa, then we wouldn't have had to migrate in such a penniless state as beggars in front of the Swedish people." I feel terrible that Swedish people think I'm trying to claim some kind of right. There is not a single person like your Khalifa in Iraq. He talks straight and says what is going on in the world. Your Jamaat is better than all other Muslim sects. Another guest said, "The message given by the Khalifa is a true message which was given by all religions at the time of their beginning. This is the basic teaching of all religions. The Khalifa calls for unity, and listening to you, I am certain that religion is not the root cause of conflict in the world, meaning problems of the world are not due to religion. Our differences with Muslims are not religious, but cultural." Coverage was given to my visit to Denmark in the electronic and print media. A national newspaper, Christian Bladet, which has a circulation of only around 50,000, however, it carried the news of the reception held at the hotel. Similarly, a journalist from Radio 24 came to the Mission House and interviewed me for about 45 minutes and broadcasted it without editing alongside Danish translation. The audience of this radio station at any given time is between 25 to 40,000 people. TVPR also covered my visit in their news. The audience is approximately 2 million. In this way, the message of Islam was carried to approximately 3 million people through various media outlets. Similarly, in Sweden, I had 6 interviews with various radio and TV channels, as well as print media. They carried the news in the national TV also. In this way, the message was carried to approximately 8 million people in Sweden. Thus, these are the facts, the manner in which the message of the community is reaching the people and their impressions which I have presented demonstrates that after listening to the teachings of Islam, they realized the truth. They realized that the true teaching of Islam lies in fulfilling the rights of Allah the Almighty, which leads to the message of security and peace and the fulfillment of the rights of people. And people have realized that the Ahmadiyya community is fulfilling these rights due to them being attached to Khilafat. Thus, this fundamental point must be understood by every Ahmadi, that these rights can only be fulfilled in the true sense while being attached to Khilafat. True Khilafat does not only change the fear of its own, but also of others into peace. And this is also the sentiment which the majority of the people have expressed, which I have already presented a summary of, that they said that their states of fear have changed into peace after having attended our functions. And this is because it is the promise of Allah the Almighty, and therefore it is also aided by His extensive support. And so the teachings of Islam has a profound effect on others. That is why some have also expressed the desire to study the Holy Quran. I cited a couple of examples of that. In this age, if anyone desires or will seek to establish Khilafat in opposition to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, he will not succeed and will not be able to establish peace. Hence, we observe what happened during the era of the true Khilafat, that is, the rightly guided Khilafat in the early period of Islam. During the era of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's Khilafat, he established such peace in Syria and Iraq that when the Roman Empire attempted to reconquer those lands, the Christian population used to cry out for the return of Muslims, and they eventually rejoiced in happiness upon the return of the Muslims. However, what is happening now? The movement, which was initiated in Iraq and Syria under the name of Khilafat, firstly, it never had any genuine strength to begin with. And then the initial strength it did have has now also faded away, and no power is left. The operation, which started in the name of Khilafat, has now, after 2 to 3 years, or even lesser period, barely got the name of an organization, which has neither provided peace to its own people and nor others. There are many among them who were also those from Europe, who went there with a passion in the name of Islam and Khilafat. However, upon observing un-Islamic activities, they became frustrated. It is also being reported in the media that there are many who would like to come back but are unable to do so, and they are living in a state of fear, and all doors have been shut upon them. The state of extremity is such that a couple of days ago there was a news that a lady, en route to her house, whose little baby was crying due to hunger, and the house was still at a distance, secluded herself to a place under a tree and started breastfeeding her baby. Upon this, the so-called custodians of Islam and its defenders and policemen of the so-called Khilafat arrived there and snatched away the baby, saying that you are breastfeeding on the street, whereas she was in an entirely secluded place. They snatched away the baby and shot the woman dead. Such are the atrocities being committed there. And they killed her, stating that you are doing an un-Islamic act. The fact is that they have even robbed the peace of their own people, and so what peace could they possibly provide to others? As I gave an example earlier on, that during the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that even the Christians were happy that Muslims were providing security to them, while other Christians were not. Today, the opposite of that is happening. However, it is only the Ahmadiyya Khilafat which is changing the fear of its own people as well as the others into peace. And it is becoming evident from the impressions of various people that Allah the Almighty's never decreasing support is with Khilafat the Ahmadiyya. And as I stated earlier, that the 108-year history of the Ahmadiyya Khilafat bears testimony to this fact. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said that if it were the work of a human, it would have perished since long. Thus, the establishment of the community of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam and its Khilafat are due to divine promises. The same thing which was present during the lifetime of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, and people unsuccessfully tried to destroy, even if they were to attempt to destroy it today, they will never be successful. This Khilafat and this system, by the grace of Allah the Almighty, shall continue forever. If we look at our resources, we cannot even imagine conveying the message of Islam to such a large number of people. However, if the decree of Allah the Almighty has made this decision, that He will cause this message to reach the corners of the earth, then who can stop this progress? No worldly power can stop it. And we should pray that may Allah the Almighty keep every Ahmadi attached to Khilafat with loyalty, and may we soon be able to observe the fulfillment of the promise of Allah the Almighty with even greater glory. After the Friday prayer, I shall lead 3 funeral prayers. One of the funerals is present here, and the other 2 will be led in absentia. The funeral that is present here is of respected Chaudhry Fazal Ahmed Sahib Waqf. He is the son of Master Ghulam Muhammad Sahib of Nankana. He passed away on 23rd May 2016 at the age of 80. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He was the maternal grandson of Hazrat Umar Din Sahib Bangvi, who was a companion of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, and the nephew of Maulvi Karam Ilahi Zafar Sahib. He lived in Mandi Bahauddin for a very long time and later shifted to Germany, and for the last few years he was living in London in the Fazl Mosque area. He had the opportunity to serve the Jamaat in various offices throughout his life. In Mandi Bahauddin, he served as a Secretary of Finance, Secretary Talim al-Quran, Imam al-Salat, etc. Wherever he lived, he had the opportunity to teach the Holy Quran to hundreds of children. In the blessed month of Ramadan in 1987, he had the honor to serve as a prisoner in the way of God due to a case relating to the Kalama, i.e. the Declaration of Faith. He was very pious and righteous and had great love for the Holy Quran. He was a very generous and noble man. The deceased was a Musi and leaves behind 5 daughters and 2 sons. May God Almighty elevate his status. The second funeral is of respected Dawood Ahmed Sahib Shaheed, son of Haji Ghulam Muhyiddin Sahib, who lived in Karachi. On 24th May 2016, opponents of Ahmadiyyat martyred him at the age of 60 by shooting him outside his home around 9 p.m. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. According to the reports, Dawood Ahmed Sahib was sitting outside his house waiting for his non-Ahmadi friend. His friend was not too far when 2 unknown assailants on a motorbike approached him, and the assailant sitting behind got off the bike and fired shots at him. The non-Ahmadi friend came to his aid, and the assailants also fired shots at his legs and fled from the scene. As a result of the shooting, respected Dawood Ahmed Sahib was hit with 3 bullets that penetrated through his chest and stomach. After hearing the shots, the neighbouring people gathered at the scene and immediately took respected Dawood Ahmed Sahib to the nearby hospital. And after receiving first aid, they were both transferred to the Liaquat National Hospital. The doctors operated on Dawood Sahib. However, the bullet that penetrated the stomach had greatly damaged the liver and the small and large intestine. A lot of blood was lost due to the bullet that struck to the chest, and so he could not be resuscitated and attained the station of martyrdom during the operation. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. By the grace of God Almighty, his non-Ahmadi friend who sustained injuries is now better. Ahmadiyyat entered the deceased family through his granddad, Hazrat Maulvi Alifuddin Sahib of Chivinda, Sialkot. Hazrat Maulvi Alifuddin Sahib entered the community by doing the bath at the blessed hands of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. Later, the family shifted to Rabwa, and Dawood Sahib was born in Rabwa in 1956. His father worked in the Navy, and so he went to Karachi, where he received his education. He lost his arm due to an accident, but never let that become a hindrance in his works. He was a man of many qualities. He was very soft-hearted, a very popular personality in his area, trustworthy, kind-hearted, pious, and respectable individual. After the incident, when the investigation team was gathering information from the locals, everyone said the same thing, that this person couldn't have had a dispute with anyone, let alone having dispute. In fact, he helped others and was a pious person that was willing to serve others. He was always at the forefront in Jamaat activities, and his house was used as a Salat center for 18 years. And he also had the opportunity to serve in Ansarullah and other Jamaat activities. One of his sons is currently studying in his fourth year in Jamia Ahmadiyya, and his other two sons were out of the country at the time for work purposes. May God Almighty elevate his status and enable his progeny to continue his good works. The third funeral is of respected Muhammad Azam Aksir Sahib, who passed away on 25th May 2016 in Rabwa at the age of 74. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He was born in Qadian in October 1942 to the former Amir of Bera, respected Maulvi Muhammad Ashraf Sahib. Ahmadiyyat entered his family through his grandfather, respected Munshi Muhammad Ramzan Sahib, who did the Bayt in 1909. He is the maternal grandson of Hazrat Maulvi Muhammad Ismail Sahib Halalpuri and the nephew of respected Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib Jalil. His father, respected Maulvi Muhammad Ashraf Sahib, was a muallim in the Waqf-e Jadid scheme. His basic education was at matriculation level, and after that he devoted his life in 1961 and entered Jamia Ahmadiyya. He passed his Shahid examinations in 1969 and also passed his FA and Maulvi Fazil exam. He was then posted to Nazarat, Islah Ishad and various other posts. He also served in Nidaratul Musannifin, Wakalat al-Tabshir and Nazarat Talimul Quran. He served as a missionary in various areas under the local Islah Ishad department. And between 1990 and 1998, he served in Nizarat Ishaat and Tasneef, and then from 1999 to 2006 in Wakalat-e-Diwan. From 2006 to 2008, he served as editor of Wakalat-e-Ishaat's monthly edition of Tehreek-e-Jadid, and from 2008 until his demise, he served as the in-charge for those who specialize in various subjects after graduating from Jamia Ahmadiyya. By the grace of God Almighty, he was a very successful missionary, a preacher and a debater. He was also the author of various books, and he had the opportunity to serve in Ansarullah. He was a very pious person. May God Almighty elevate his station. He leaves behind his wife, three daughters and one son. His son is here and could not attend his father's funeral. May God Almighty grant his wife and children patience and courage and enable them to continue their father's good works.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruh wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.